Welcome to the Sportscast, February 17th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, Facebook, you name it. If you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. Leave a five-star and leave a review, and we could read it live on the Sportscast. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Today's sponsor is Instant Bible. Create verses and pictures. Download Instant Bible today in the App Store. The 2020 NBA All-Star Game was set to be an emotional occasion featuring Team LeBron versus Team Giannis in its all-new format. In the sportscast world, the NBA starts when the All-Star Game weekend begins. And joining us to talk to us a little bit about NBA and the All-Star Game, Kailu Borden. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Kailu, what an All-Star Game. High intensity, playoff intensity, I called it. I watched to the end. People, you know, like the past couple years or most of the All-Star Game era has been very boring because a lot of players want to play it safe and they do not want to risk injury. And there's no defense. Kailu, what was your recap?
Good, and starting on Friday when Team Wilbon beat Stephen A. Smith, so that was really cool to get to see him like get a technical. And then I feel like the Rising Stars game just really built on that. I felt like we saw a lot of young stars of the game. I felt like we saw Trey Young, we saw Jaren Jackson, we saw Kendrick Nunn, we saw Ja Morant. So I felt like each event built off one another. RJ Barrett had a good game in that, 27 points, 11 to 17 field goal, 0-4 from 3, 5-6 from the free throw, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. In 24 minutes, Zion Williamson bent the backboard. That was really interesting to see. 14.7 of 11 field goal, 2 rebounds and assists. They combined for 41 points, 18 of 20 field goal, 8 rebounds and 6 assists. So I feel like that was really cool to see. Miles Bridges won the MVP in that. So that was really, really good to see for him. And then I feel like each event just built after that in the skills contest. Bam Adebayo going against Devonta Sabonis. I feel like that was really cool to see. Big men getting it done in that. The dunk contest had a lot of controversy. Obviously, there was a lot of controversy with that. I feel like Aaron Gordon should have won dunking on Taco Fall. I didn't feel like he pushed off, but Aaron Gordon, 8 of his 12 career dunks in 2016, 2020, Zach LaVine, and in 2020 against Derrick Jones, 8 of his 12 career dunks is 50. That speaks to itself. He's a really, really good dunker. So I feel like each event really built on after one another. And I feel like the NBA that Saturday did a great night honoring Kobe Bryant, obviously renaming the trophy after him. That was really good to see. 18-time NBA All-Star, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2000, 2016. Four-time All-Star game MVP, 2002, 2007, 2009, 2011. He's played in that 15 games. Started 15, stopped 50%, 119 of 238. 22 of 68 from 3, 32.4%. 30 for 38, free throw line, 78.9%, 75 rebounds, 70 assists, 38 steals, 6 blocks, 290 career points. So I feel like the NBA really did a great job with, from whether it was Magic Johnson honoring Kobe Bryant pregame, the Jennifer Hudson thing was great at halftime with Chance the Rapper, Quavo, and DJ Khaled. They did a really great job wearing the 2 and 24 jerseys. I feel like the NBA did a sensational job at that. Silver renaming the trophy out there. That was really big time, and I feel like that went a long way. As to the game itself, I feel like it was really, really cool. Obviously, in the first quarter, you were Team LeBron came out firing, and then it gave Team Giannis a chance to reset. They came out firing. The third quarter was better, and then the fourth quarter is excellent. I feel like teams locked in. In the first three quarters, there were 14 fouls, 13 free throw attempts, 55 break points, 48 dunks. In the fourth quarter, there was 21 fouls, 26 fouls, 26, I think it was 26 free throw attempts, 0 dunks. So it was just really good. Team LeBron in the fourth quarter had 33 points, 42% shooting, 7 assists, 4 turnovers. Team Giannis, 22 points, 26% from the floor, 1 assist, and 7 turnovers. So I just felt like it was a really good game. And obviously, Kawhi Leonard winning the MVP was really huge. And it was the first MVP. He came out firing 4-4. From 3 to start the game, 30 points, 8 of 14 field goals, 7 rebounds. This adds to his mantle, 2-time defensive player of the year in 2015, 2016, finals MVP in 14 and 19. And this really added to his mantle, and I feel like this was a really good game for the NBA. Obviously, in the first three quarters, you're playing for you're playing for charity. And then the fourth quarter, a lot of intensity, Kyle Lowry drawing charges, Giannis blocking a LeBron shot. I really, really enjoyed this entire weekend for the NBA.
Yeah, you saw all the starters playing in the fourth quarter. You know, in previous All-Star games, a lot of the All-Stars typically, like the starters typically sit out because they want to avoid injury. And there's also less defense, so it becomes more of a street ball. But in that fourth quarter, it became playoff intensity. What were your thoughts about that?
I thought it was really good because, obviously, like, I feel like it was really good because in the previous All-Star games, they would always ratchet up the intensity, but like playing with a target role, even so Anthony Davis, so that he missed the first one and then missed the first one, so they had to make the second one. Even that added drama at the end of the game because I assumed he would have just knocked it out the way. But even that added drama, him being a hometown kid in Chicago, going back to where he grew up. So I feel like it was really good out in the target role. Obviously, in the first quarter, you give him an incentive to play for charity. The second quarter, that team wants to come back and think it gives them a fresh chance to reset the score for them. So that was really good. And then I feel like the players really bought into it. I feel like a lot of it, all these rules, I think they feel like LeBron and Team Giannis, as the captain, they both set the tone. They really bought into it, and everyone fed off that.
Here was the new format for the NBA All-Star game this year. The first three quarters were individually scored as separate games, with the scoreboard resetting at halftime. The team that won each quarter got $100K for their team charity. If tied, the total was added to the pot for the next quarter. At the end of the third quarter, the cumulative score was posted on the scoreboard, and the entire period was played under the basketball tournament's Elam ending. A rule recommending a players' union president, Chris Paul, who coached in the aforementioned tournament in 2019 for the entire quarter. So they had to play, the NBA All-Star Games Elam ending used a target score of 24 points more than the leading teams or both scores in honor of Kobe Bryant, who died on January 26th this past year. The team, the winning team won $200K for their charity if one team had won each of the first three quarters, reached the target score first. $500K would have been donated to the winning team charity, and $100K would have been donated to the losing team's charity. Of course, they had to reach 157 points. Kailu, was this a good rule to play in the All-Star game?
I think it's really good. I think it was very captivating. I think a lot of football fans, but they wanted the NBA to fix the Pro Bowl. I think it was really captivating. I think from the first quarter on, you had each team playing for charity. So it gave you an incentive to keep playing. And even if you lost the first quarter, Team Giannis in the second quarter was still able to reset and come out surging. And then as the game got to the third quarter, it just kept on surging and surging. And then the score, and then Team Giannis only scored 22 points in the fourth. So I think it's always been great in the fourth. But it was more of the teams being allowed. I think it more had to do with the fans being involved in it, because the first three quarters, there was not really much for the fans to really cheer for other than wide open dunks and layups. So it gave students a chance to build up that emotion in the players in the first three quarters. And then in the fourth, it gave the opportunity for the veterans to stay in it. Chris Paul did a sensational job, 23 points, 8 of 13 field goals, 7 of 11 three-pointers. So it was really good for the players to just, like, get a chance to, like, experiment with this new format. Also, they were playing for Kobe Bryant, so it gave them more of an incentive the first year doing this. So it was, I thought it was really good, and I give it a 10. I thought it was really interesting, creative.
I did too. I mean, I for sure, this is probably the best All-Star game I've seen in a while. I think the one that I remember previous was when Kobe blocked LeBron's shot. I think it was maybe 2011 or 2010. It was the same year where Michael Jordan picked Kobe over LeBron. You remember that All-Star game?
Yeah, I think I remember what you were talking about. I think it was 2011.
Yeah, 2011. I think it was like Kobe's last good All-Star game. Kawhi Leonard had 30 points, won the Kobe Bryant MVP award. I told you at halftime, Kailu, that Kawhi Leonard will win the MVP.
Yeah, I obviously thought he was going to win it, because when he came out 4-4 from three, I felt like when Team LeBron was going to win the game, I felt it was going to either be him or Chris Paul. I feel like those are the two candidates for me. I feel like those were the two. And Kawhi just had that from the get-go. I just felt like it was either going to be him. If Team LeBron won this game, which they did, I felt they're now 3-0. Team LeBron's now 3-0 at the captain. I felt it was going to be either Kawhi or Chris Paul. Those are the two candidates.
And I also thought that LeBron would have won it as well because he had a good fourth quarter as well, but Kawhi definitely had the edge. Team LeBron consisted of, here were the starters, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Luka Doncic, and James Harden. Team Giannis had, of course, Giannis, Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, Kemba Walker, and Trae Young. I was surprised with Kemba Walker's performance. Were you?
I was not surprised with Kemba Walker's performance because I felt like even though Team Giannis is really good, you could tell with Team LeBron when they brought in Chris Paul and things, they were just head-hunting matches. Even though Kyle Lowry does the best defense he can, I mean, he's 6 feet. When Team Giannis, when Team LeBron at the end of the game, they have five closers. When they took out Luka Doncic and they brought in a veteran, seniority wins in this tournament. That's why Luka only played 18 minutes. When they went with the LeBron, Kawhi, AD, Chris Paul, they're just too bigger. And I didn't feel like, I mean, Kyle Lowry did his best. He had a couple holds on Anthony Davis, which they didn't call, but it's the All-Star game. When they went with that lineup, I just felt like Team LeBron, he always chooses the guys that are bigger and stronger. So, and they have more size in this game. So I didn't think it had to do with Kyle Lowry and Kemba Walker. I just think that Team LeBron has more size and size wins in this event.
And who did not really show up in this game was Russell Westbrook.
I wasn't really surprised because, like, sometimes in the All-Star game, when you're playing with a bunch of All-Stars, like, I mean, you're going to have to, like, sacrifice because there's five All-Stars on the court. And, like, even though you're an All-Star, you may not be starting. So, like, seniority wins in this. So, like, I'm not really surprised, like, if a player typically struggles because, I mean, if you're used to having the ball in hand, like Russell Westbrook has on the Rockets, you might not get as much looks as you would hope for.
One thing I realized in this All-Star game, like I was saying in the intro, that I start following the NBA from the All-Star game and on, and I noticed that OKC has a sixth seed in the West. Are you surprised about that?
I am surprised about that because, like, Oklahoma City's always, like, they're well-coached, so making that trade when they traded Paul Jordan, they got Shea and Danilo Gallinari. I'm not surprised that Danilo Gallinari is playing well because, like, he's a really good player. But for him, it's always been about, like, if he stays healthy. So the fact that he's staying healthy, he's always been a really good player. But even on his Clipper days, he couldn't really stay healthy. He's always, you know, had a lot of injuries. So I'm not really surprised by that. But more Shea's development, Shea goes out to Danny. He's really had a terrific year for them. And Chris Paul, I'm not really surprised by Chris Paul. A lot of people say they're surprised by Chris Paul. But for Chris Paul, it's always been those hamstring injuries. Even when they were up 3-2, the Rockets against the Warriors, and they lost that series and he couldn't play, like, they were going to win that series if he played. I still think they would have won that series if he played. But for him, it was always about just, like, staying healthy.
Also in the East, the big surprise is Toronto being second place. And, of course, after trading Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers, he was actually a free agent when they lost him. I thought, you know, Toronto might not be in that eighth top eight, but they're second place, Kailu. Are they a force to be reckoned with?
I am not surprised by Toronto making the playoffs because the Eastern Conference and teams under 500 typically make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. So I'm not surprised by that. In terms of their actual standing, I am surprised by that. I did not expect them to be 40-15 at this point in the season. They're 29-8 in conference, 21-7 at home, 19-8 on the road. They're 9-1 in the last 10 games. They're really playing great basketball. They had a 15-game win streak, which ended, I think it was Brooklyn.
Right.
But they had a 15-game win streak against Brooklyn, which ended. I think they're really playing well. I think it's a combination of Siakam. He was the D-League champion in 2017. 2018, he won the most improved. Last year, he helped Kawhi as a second option in Toronto. And this year, he's becoming the number one option in Toronto. He's the number one option in Toronto. Fred VanVleet's playing well for them off the bench. Kyle Lowry still has that veteran defense. Serge Ibaka plays well for them off the bench. The developmental guys play well. They come in and they do their role. They buy into Nick Nurse. I feel like Nick Nurse has done a tremendous job of helping them as well. They've had some injuries and they've been able to overcome it. So I think they are a team that is a sleeper. However, I don't have them ahead of Milwaukee and Celtics in the playoffs.
Yeah, Milwaukee's definitely the best team in the East. But what I'm seeing between the two and the fifth spot, it feels like it's going to fluctuate. Raptors, Celtics, and Heat, and Sixers. I think they're going to, you know, vie for that second seed. The Heat were at second at one point and dropped to fourth. But, you know, it's okay in the East. Just like Kailu says, the East is pretty easy except the Bucks. So that's something to definitely look at. I did not see much from Jimmy Butler. from the All-Star game.
And in the All-Star game, I just, like, I always say, like, it's hard to, like, really get minutes in the All-Star game because you're, like, you're playing with so many, like, you're playing with so many good players. So, like, I mean, if one player doesn't play, then the other player has to play. So, it's, like, it's kind of tough in the All-Star game to, like give the minutes to all these great players.
I don't know. You know, it's funny about this All-Star game. I really had a lot of, I mean, my expectations were, I mean, like, there was so much buzz with this All-Star game because it was in Chicago. Now, when you think about Chicago and NBA, you think of Michael Jordan. And it had so much buzz. I'm not sure what it was, but were you feeling that for, like, the past week?
Yeah, I was definitely feeling the buzz. Obviously, a lot of it had to do with, like, Kobe Bryant's death, which is very, very, and still very unfortunate. I feel like that was some of the buzz. A lot of people didn't understand the rules at first. It took me a little while to understand it at first when I, like, first read it. I was like, but I gave it a chance to, like, me adapting to certain things. So, like, I gave it a chance. And, like, I was willing to buy with it. And then in the fourth quarter, it makes sense. Commercial-free, uninterrupted. We had Kyle Lowry doing charges. LeBron was out there. The coaches were arguing. It almost turned like to a playoff game in a sense. Like, there was a lot of high stakes for both teams. They wanted to win for charity and just to have some bragging rights. So I feel like it was really good.
Now, with these new rules, Kailu, has NBA cracked the code? Should they keep this format for the next upcoming years?
Yes, I think they should definitely keep it without question. The first three quarters, you're playing for charity, which is really good. It's always a great incentive to play for charity. And in the fourth quarter, you get a high stakes of no commercial. I don't want to get a commercial in. It's really good to not have a commercial. I mean, it's kind of it feels like a long 20-minute college basketball, but in a sense, it feels really good because it's uninterrupted. The players are playing something. And I feel like they really bought in. We'll see because they were also playing for Kobe Bryant. So we'll also see if they keep buying into it going forward. It was the first year. So using the first year, players are typically going to buy into it. We'll see going forward. But I think this is a really good idea. It's creative. It's outside the box. And I think it's
also, this is one of the first All-Star games I've not seen any Warrior player in it. That was something very, very missing. Drastically, of course, the Warriors are going through injury healing process right now. So hopefully we'll see at least one of them next season at the All-Star game. Let's go into baseball. Angels, Mike Trout on like the whole asteroid sign ceiling. Obviously, like this whole incident happened a couple years ago. And he actually, you know, said today that he lost respect for some of those guys. What are your thoughts about Mike Trout's comments?
I thought it was really challenging. A lot of people have lost respect. I've lost respect to the Astros personally. I feel like Rob Manfred's completely let down the ball. I mean, he's made like a bunch of excuses. Teams was complaining about the Astros in 2017. And like it took for Mike Fiers to say something about it, which is like really disingenuous for Rob Manfred to say like he dropped the ball afterwards. And like he didn't really give the players he didn't really suspend the players. But anybody that hits the players and tries to retaliate, which is never good, but anybody trying to retaliate is going to get more games than a player that actually cheated and careers that were actually affected. So I actually agree with Mike Trout. I feel like more could have been done, but Major League Baseball isn't really going to do much more. And they kind of gave the Astros immunity. They fired the general manager and they fired the manager and the general manager. But in baseball, like the manager only really communicates. Like, most of the work is done, like, with the analytic guys in baseball. So, I mean, it is what it is. You're frustrated about it if you're Mike Trout. And, like, but you got to, like, move on because, like, it sucks. And, like, you're never going to forget about it. But, like, if you're Mike Trout, you kind of got to, like, try to put it behind you because Major League Baseball isn't going to do much more.
Should Major League Baseball take away the World Series from the Astros?
Should they? Absolutely, they should take away. I've always said, like, they should take it away. Like, my personal opinion, like, they should have confiscated the championship a long time ago. But, like, what Major League Baseball is going to do and what I actually feel they're going to do is, like, two different things.
Yeah, something to definitely look on. Of course, you know, cheating in sports happens here and there, but we've been seeing a lot of a series of cheating in Major League Baseball as of late. So hopefully Major League Baseball can, you know, close those holes because it just ain't. it's not fair for a lot of the fans and other teams that work hard and, you know, some tweak that some other team does just to win a game. And, you know, winning at all costs, you know, will have a cost if you do it. Miles Garrett was reinstated to the NFL this past week, and he claims that Mason Rudolph made a racial slur, but Mason Rudolph said he didn't. What should happen, Kyler? I mean, is this a big deal, or is this just, you know, all a bunch of opinion talk?
I think it is a big deal, but I think the more to me is like how the NFL, like, we have so much cameras and stuff. For me, it's like more so how they can't find video of like what actually transpired. And also for me, what seems puzzling is why he didn't say anything post game about it. Why is he waiting to now, even though he does? Here he served suspension, even though I said it should have been longer, because Tom Brady got 4 for Deflategate and he got 6 for 6 or something far bigger. They're two separate things. Well, player safety is always higher, and it just shows you like what the NFL values. They rather the footballs over actual like player safety. Even though they have improved player safety, I feel like he should have got more games. But now that he got his games, I just feel like there's just the players haven't said anything that was around the situation. And for me, it's like, why didn't he say anything post game? If somebody really slur at you, why didn't you say anything when they were interviewing you? Why are you saying something now? But the fact that he's saying it now, which makes me think, why does the NFL have any like video of it? So it's just really confusing to see like what's his motive about saying it, and also why we don't have any like video or people, eyewitnesses saying something about it. So it's just like really confusing.
Yeah, and Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who coaches Mason Rudolph, said today on First Take, the most recent one this past week, and I took offense to it, to be quite honest with you. I fully support Mason Rudolph. We as an organization fully support Mason Rudolph, to be quite honest with you. We were hacked off by what we saw this weekend. So Tomlin's behind Mason Rudolph, who is potentially the future quarterback of the Steelers. But what are your thoughts over Tomlin's statement?
No, I agree with him. It's hard to like argue with him. And then Mike Tomlin's a no-nonsense. He's not had any losing seasons as the coach of the Steelers. So I obviously tend to agree with him. He's in the situation with Antonio Brown. And he benched Mason Rudolph, which makes it more credible because he took that stance. So it makes it more believable. And obviously he would know more about the character than we do because he's inside the locker room. But obviously he's going to defend his teammate, which I'm more puzzled to see like why we don't like have any actual video and like why this didn't come out after like post game.
Yeah, something to definitely look at. But I guess, you know, a lot of these things I have to just move on. Obviously the preseason, I mean, camp starts, I think, in May or June. So we'll see if this thing kind of moves on. NFL news. The Oakland Raiders have said they have offered Tom Brady $60 million for 2 years. Quite tempting, Kailu. Tom Brady obviously has been talking to the Patriots. Obviously, like, they did offer Brady $30 million, but Brady wants a receiver. Should Brady consider this Raiders offer?
I think if he wants the money and the lure of playing in a new stadium, I think the Raiders are very, like, dysfunctional. They really want Tom Brady. I think they obviously need him more than he needs them. I mean, he's going to go – if his incentive is to go where the most money is going to be, then that probably is going to be the Raiders. Like, if he still wants to win, and probably more like the Colts. But, like, it depends. Like, I've always said, like, it depends, like, what his motivation is going into, like, free agency.
Of course, the Chargers definitely have been requested. I mean, the LA Chargers are also in the mix of offering Tom Brady a position there. And I've been hearing Tyrod Taylor. Well, he's there already, but he could start if Brady doesn't come by. So a lot of different moves are going on, but eyes are on the Patriots. Free agency begins in March. So Patriots have to get things going before then, because Brady could easily go to another team. And, but a lot of people are suggesting for Brady to stay for another, just to finish off as a Patriot. So we'll see what happens on that end. So what's the status for Major League Baseball? Is it, you know, preseason has begun? Or, I mean, has spring training begun already?
Spring training started last weekend. So pitchers and catchers report. And then this week, the rest of the team report. So everybody's back. And they're in the swing of things. Talking about the Astros.
Definitely a lot of things going on. Baseball is gearing up for their season. Major League Soccer is going to also gear up as well. And, of course, the NBA, the second half of this season will begin. So it should be pretty exciting. Anyways, Kailu, what is the best way to reach you online?
They can reach me at KailuBorden12 on Instagram and Twitter.
And there you have it. And you could you can reach us at the Sportscast, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, the latest. You can read some XFL news from Justin Riley. Also, what's going on in college football recruiting scouts. Where is Justin Herbert going? There's a report today of Miami Dolphins interested in Herbert over Tua. So a lot of things are being updated throughout the, you know, every day things are keeping changing. What, you know, what team's interest, you know, where that and things like that. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Anyways, also follow us on Twitter at the Sportscast1. A whole lot of live tweeting going on with the XFL this season. XFL just started. Has Kailu watched the XFL yet?
No, I have not watched the XFL.
I've watched a few bits and pieces. It looks pretty exciting. Like the stadiums look pretty full. I heard Seattle has a packed out stadium, but you know Seattle's pretty good when it comes to sports. So, anyways, that is all for the Sportscast. Kailu, I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.